Jasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Jasper.
And Murray.
Jasper.
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Jasper.
And Murray.
Jasper.
And Murray.
Jasper.
And Murray.
Final hour, Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hit it, B-Rob. Damn computer.
Yeah, the Belcher, South Dakota. The yellow and the blue. Ring the bells for South Dakota. The yellow and the blue. Cheer the team from South Dakota. With loyal hearts so true. That's right. Cheer the team from South Dakota. We'll love you so damn much.
Just making it up now.
Cheer the team from South Dakota. Beat evil Holy Cross.
Yeah, that's right. We love them, these jackrabbits. Trying to take down greasy Holy Cross with one of the most devious play calls I've seen. You get in the end zone, they go up 14-6 at the time. Running back pass.
Yeah, running back pass to
Sean
Morris.
Gets past the defense.
On fourth and one. You're going crazy. You're very upset that Bob Chesney keeps going for it on fourth down.
Oh, I hate it. You deserve to fail every single time, unless it's end of game situations. Any kind of football. High school level, peewee, pros, collegiate, whatever. End of game, fourth, you want to go for it, fine. I believe this. I'll go to my grave feeling this way. I don't care what the analytics say. I don't care what you nerds say. When you're going to go for it on fourth down, and you keep picking it up, like I think of it Madden style. Don't be surprised when I take the controller cord and strangle you to death. Stop it. Oh, you got to stop it. No, just play it right. Punt, punt, midfield, fourth and four. You go forward with your greasy Vanilla Vic quarterback. Oh, I hate it so much.
Oh, they learned to stop.
Vanilla Vic. Yeah, that's what I've been referring
to. He's pretty good.
Referring to Taylor Heinicke as for a while now. Taylor Heinicke, who's going to be taking on Daniel Jones in prime time instead of the Patriots and the Raiders from tomorrow.
Oh, when you put it in those terms, holy moly.
Oh, it's brutal. That one cuts deep. You know,
it
so
does.
While I have been begging for this to happen for my own selfish reasons, why do you want the pads flexed up? For me, like, because I like doing the post game with Joe, but, you know, when you get home at like 3 in the morning, it's 4 straight weeks, it gets to be a bit much. Your baby, fine, whatever. You know, my sleep is precious, and you're never right the same day, even if you get the 7 hours of sleep. Anyway, that game's flexed out, so yay me. Sorry, Chris, I know that affects your travel plans
really
somehow.
Does.
How was it? Like, how'd you get screwed here? What,
well, because I'm on thinking that that game was an 8 o'clock start, and that pregame would start at 5, I'm on a very cost-effective, for the Globe, red-eye flight back on Saturday night. So yeah. Now
good
I'll
luck
be
with
there. Yeah, I'll be there at 1 p.m., so yeah. I'll probably be in a grand mood for that game.
But think about that. Like, the league, this is where, you know, this is why I buy that you have people like Peter King, Greg Bedard, Tom Curran, others maybe speculating, like, this is such an important game for the Patriots on Monday night. If they lose it, Belichick, hot seat. Because from a perspective of an entertainment value, how, you know, the Crafts, like, you know, they've been one of the crown jewels of the NFL 2 decades plus now. You've been flexed out. And we talked about this, and we went through some of these games. The Patriots have been flexed out during the Brady era, Chris. It always had to do with the other team. Even the Matt Castle year where Brady out in 08, they had one flexed out against the Seahawks late in the season. But that was because the Seahawks, at the time, I think the Patriots were 7-5. The Seahawks were a 2-win team.
Okay.
They got flexed out because of the other team, not you. This one, they got flexed out because of you. Because the league said, the nation doesn't have to watch, shouldn't have to watch this slog of an offense and this team that's kind of unwatchable 4 straight weeks in prime time.
That's actually a good point, because when they made the decision to flex, the Raiders were still riding a 3-game winning streak and were going to play the Rams in prime time. So when you put it in those terms, in terms of it was more about the Patriots, I agree with that. And then the other thing that I hadn't really taken into account is we talk about this discussion about Belichick and whether he could potentially be on the hot seat. If they do lose this game to the Cardinals, which a lot of the nation has been seeing, they are a shambolic operation. They've seen that on this Hard Knocks. But if you lose this game, it's a loss on national television on Monday Night Football. So if that happens to you and it's 3 straight losses in primetime on national television, does that resonate a little deeper with the Crafts?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah. Embarrassed again in prime time. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I do think this resonated when they lost to Buffalo. And I mentioned this on Felger and Maz previously. When Jay-Z, who was in their box, went down in the tunnel and stopped the other team's quarterback, made sure he stopped Josh Allen to dap him up and introduce himself.
Right. And, you know, like, I think that Robert likes being a star and his team being looked at as, like, the crown jewel. And so, yes, Jay-Z, one of the most famous men on planet Earth. I want to go down and talk to the quarterback. Oh, our guy?
Yeah. No, the good one. I'm going to go talk to Josh Allen. You know, that also has to cut deep.
But, again, going back to this, so when I was begging for this, please, just for my own selfish reasons, flex this game out. Come on, NFL, at mentioning the NFL on Twitter. You know you want to do it. Come on. Looking at the rest of the schedule for Week 15, I'm like, I don't see it. Like, what are they going to do?
Yes.
You know, because the you know, there's some good games, but those games are, like, the good ones. Dolphins, Bills, that's Saturday. It said, like, TBD, but, you know, it's scheduled for the Saturday.
Bengals, Bucks.
That's a CBS game, I believe. Like, the that network's not giving up that
one. Yeah, I think they protected it.
Yeah, so, and I was like, I don't know, maybe Washington, because they've been frisky, and this Giants team, it's kind of overachieved. And then those two play to a tie, and then the next day, that's what gets flexed in. Taylor Heineke against Daniel Jones. You want it to cut even deeper? Do you want some of these numbers?
Go ahead.
You know how bad this is that they've been flexed out of this? The Giants' numbers in prime time from 2019 to now, 0-11. They haven't won in prime time.
Wow.
With Daniel Jones in prime time, 0-9.
Ooh.
In games 425 or later, so that 425 is also, you know, that's a national game, 1-18. This is what you got flexed out for. Washington from 19 to now, 9-6 in games 425 or later, so they've been frisky, 5-4 in prime time. That's the Vanilla Vic difference. I put that on Taylor Heineke. And a great front four. Their defense is good. And you know what? Tip of the cap to old Ron Rivera, too. I think he might actually be a little bit underrated.
He's a good coach. I mean, when he was with Carolina, the Carolina would – they beat the Patriots twice. He beat Belichick twice. He's not afraid.
Yeah. But this is what you got flexed out for. But then, okay, so all that being said, like, Washington's actually going to be kind of fun to watch. But there's still that Washington team, Daniel Snyder, who they would – the league, you know, to use Mike's line this week, a team they'd like to probably see relegated, and an owner they want out. This is what you got flexed out for. Like, if you're Robert, you have to be like, what's happening? What has happened to us?
Yeah, your team has no buzz. I mean, that's really what's happening. Your team has no buzz. And you thought that your quarterback was going to make the leap and sort of get into Joe Burrow territory, and that's the team you were going to be, and that's what you were going to have to market, and it's gone completely the other way. The quarterback has become sort of a question mark to the point that I don't want to say a majority, but a large segment of the fan base wanted him to be benched for Bailey Zappi. Don't you? So I will say this. You were on the Zappi fever thing. So was your dad. Shout out to Mr. Murray. Do you think at this point Robert Kraft wishes Zappi fever had continued?
Yep.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Chris,
I do, too.
It was the only time that there was, like, true buzz for this team this year.
It's true. I mean, it's a good point. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting. But when you look at it through that prism of primetime, and if the Patriots flexed out of this game this coming Sunday or a week from tomorrow, and then you lose for the third straight week in primetime, and you lose to the Arizona Cardinals, who are just, I mean, you know, four of their five offensive linemen are on IR. They're not a well-coached team.
They're 1-11 in their last 12 home games.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Oh, just to reiterate this, like, there's few things that are more offensive to me as a sports fan than watching a team that they have so much talent. I love DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, me too.
I think he has the best hands in the league for a wide receiver. Kyler Murray makes me furious because I think he's so talented, fun to watch. Love a little water bug guy, like, dinky, 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 dink. And but boy, is he just like a selfish baby. And all that you watch 5 minutes of that in season Hard Knocks, you're like, oh God. And one guy's more douchey than the next, starting with that head coach who have you seen this one clip, Chris? He's in his big fancy house and he's all coiffed, and there's he has this overpriced painting of like a lion with a king crown on it.
No.
And he points to it and goes, "That says it all right there, now, doesn't it?" You're like, oh, you're just like every douche at a nightclub. Like, oh, they're just – and the team has tuned him out. You got the coordinator they had to fire. He's out grabbing asses in Mexico. Like, they're a mess. Like, they have that much talent, and they underachieve the way that they do. They just – oh, that bothers me so much. So, you know, they should, the Patriots, even though, like, they have their issues, like, they're the best of the bad. And by the bad, I mean the middling, too. They should win this game Monday.
They really should win this game. Like I said, I didn't know that 1-11 stat. But like I said, missing four of their five offensive linemen, four of the five are on IR. Zach Ertz is out as well. So, you know, rookie Trey McBride is one of the tight ends. They have no running game, really, to speak of. The defense, for all the Vance Joseph blitzing and all that stuff that they do, they're 28th in sacks per pass attempt. Defensively, I mean, it's a bad defense, tied for 26 in first downs allowed per game, worst red zone defense in the NFL, 28th in third down conversion percentage allowed. They're allowing about 27 points a game. If you can't get right against this team, maybe you do deserve to get fired.
Do you think they have some problems again? So I mentioned the update on the injury report before they head out there. So still no Jalen Mills. It's the same as yesterday. Jacoby Myers still in the concussion protocol. Still no Damian Harris. Isaiah Wynn probably not going to play. They did get Trent Brown back yesterday due to illness. So, I don't know. You look at that, like, they're down some players.
They are down. The Jacoby Myers one is the one that worries me just because he's a chain mover and he's a guy that you can go to make plays and got to have it situations. So, who takes over that? It should be Kendrick Bourne, but again, Bourne's. This is the Patriots now. Bourne was one of the guys who spoke out against the offense. So, do they exile him just out of spite, even though they now need him? How does it go? Is it Aguilar, you know, who could make a great catch over the middle and then bobble it and hand it to the other team? Does Tyquan Thornton come out of witness protection because they realize how bad it looked when Marcus Jones is making more plays at receiver than Tyquan Thornton? Where do you go?
All right, your thoughts on this game coming up on Monday, and should Bill be on the hot seat? If they are to lose to the lowly Arizona Cardinals, who are getting 1-11 in their last 12 home games, you shouldn't really. This is a simple-minded take, but like I've always thought, like you probably shouldn't lose most of your home games. Like there is, I still do believe in a home field advantage in the NFL.
Sure,
1-11 in your last 12, like you stink.
I'll say one other thing too, just quickly. What about the like former player coach factor for Cliff Kingsbury? Is that a factor here? Because the first game when they played the Cardinals, that was a close game. Cardinals could have won that game here at Gillette.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, they kind of got bailed out with a roughing the passer on Cam Newton, too.
That's right. There was a personal foul on Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
But what happened was Zane Gonzalez missed the go-ahead field goal.
That's what it was.
Then the Patriots went down the other way and got that penalty you mentioned, and then Folk hit a field goal to win the game as time expired.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't put
some
a lot
clutch
of stuff.
Holy cross-like play there by the Patriots at that point.
This greasy team just like, making it a game. South Dakota State, number one, 11-1. You know, the one home loss, this Holy Cross team, you're using this greasy quarterback, too. Who knows what devious stuff that they're up to? You can never trust Holy Cross. This is why we need our Jackrabbits today. Someone tweeting asking, too, what's with this Jackrabbit stuff? I'm with it. I just don't know why. Thanks, Shane. Of course you're with it, because everyone's with it. But the Jackrabbits, you know, this all stemmed from quickly last week. Chris being the pain in the ass that he is, like a nana. Saying to me, why aren't you giving the Holy Cross updates in the updates? They're unbeaten. Huh? I'm getting Tom Caron be better. Yes, the other way! Yes! Turnover Jacks! Jacks! Yeah! Crank it up, B-Rub! Cheer for South Dakota Jack Rabbits. They just went 20-14. We love the Jack Rabbits, the yellow and the blue. Yeah, let's hear it for the Jackrabbits, the yellow and the blue. Ring the bells for the Jackrabbits. Holy Cross is poo. Yeah. Oh, that was great.
It seems like the Count might be a Jackrabbits fan.
Oh, everyone is. This is so Chris, Tom Caron be bettering me, not putting the Holy Cross updates in last week. Oh, that's how it's going to be? So I went to eBay. I bought myself a Jackrabbits hat and quickly became the biggest Jackrabbits fan that there is. Wore it yesterday on Felgram as. I got the yellow and blue hat with the rabbit on it today, and this is why we have it on here, and I'm cheering for the Jackrabbits. For spite, never underestimate how spiteful a human being I am. That's just who I am. I make no apologies for it. What a turnover. That's the Jackrabbit speed that we know and we love right there. Number 11. What's his face? Yeah, great play by him. What a play. Okay. Let's rag on the Red Sox, rightfully so, next, for being cheap and letting Xander Bogaerts go to the San Diego Padres. The Padres? Who saw that coming? Nobody. We'll get to that next.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sounds like back not opinion to me.
This is Gas, Per, and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sandra, you're in the Red Sox organization for almost 14 years. How difficult was it to kind of make that final decision to come here?
I mean, I was very, very thankful, very appreciative for my time over there. I ran along a lot of great coaches, great players. Obviously, in this game, you play the game to win, but also you play to create friendships and relationships. Still to this day, I have a lot of teammates that I consider friends. You know, as I said, very thankful from managing standpoint, players-wise, teammates, front office standpoint. I mean, it was a great run, you know, but this is definitely a different challenge, one that I'm very excited for, looking forward to. Because as I said, this team really wants to win, and you can see how close it is, especially watching the games last year and these last couple of years that they went to the playoffs, like 2020 during the COVID year. But I mean, this year, seeing the fans and how electric it was something obviously we didn't have this year.
Xander Bogaerts, now of the San Diego Padres. That's him yesterday at his introductory press conference. That's just a weird one. You know, I didn't feel good about them re-signing him. It felt like this should have been taken care of before last season, middle of last season. But, you know, these Red Sox, I felt this way for a while now, Chris. They're Red Sox in name only. They're not. These aren't your father's Red Sox. These aren't the Red Sox we grew up with. They're not the Red Sox of the last, up until like the last 5 years. What we knew in the 90s, 2000s, like always going to beat the evil empire. They really have tried to be, like, basically become like fiscally conservative Tampa Bay Rays type of operation. They're the Red Sox in name only. That this came to this, like, the contract's long, but this isn't really about the Padres and Bogaerts himself. Like, I don't blame him for signing that deal. This is about, it's still ultimately about the Red Sox and that they didn't get this thing done, and they continue to lie right in everyone's face.
Yeah,
he's our number one priority. Sorry to cut you off. Like, don't stop it with that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, they wanted him, but the part they leave out is that they wanted him on their terms.
Right, and their price.
And their price. And it seems like their price was woefully, woefully off base in terms of what his market was. And, you know, Chris Cotillo of Mass Live had an interview he did with Heim Bloom. And you can go read that if you want. You know, Chris tweeted it out. A good job by him to get Bloom. But I think that, you know, Chris is a little closer maybe to the Tyler Millikins of the world, because I'm just reading what Heim's saying to him, and I'm not buying it. Like, you know, like the question to me that has to be asked is, you know, do you regret, and I asked Bloom this question when I talked to him, do you regret that initial offer to Bogaerts now that you look back on what he signed for? You offered him four at 90. He got almost $200 million more than that. You were so off base. And some of the quotes in this thing, and I'm not criticizing, I mean, you ask a question, you get the answer, that's what you do. So I'm not criticizing Chris, he's great. But some of the quotes from Bloom in this thing, just talking about this, to me, just they ring hollow. Like, here's one. It got to a point we just weren't going to get to, he said. That's not to say that emotionally it wasn't hard, but I don't think there's any sense in beating around the bush on that. The end point speaks for itself. We just weren't going to get there. Well, that sort of like flies in the face of the idea of like, well, you know, Bogaerts should have given them a chance to match and like all this other stuff. No, that was never going to happen. Here's another one. So this is what Chris writes. Bloom said the Red Sox truly considered Bogaerts its top priority for the last few weeks and tried to back it up with actions, even if the final offer came well short of what the shortstop took from San Diego. We wouldn't have said that if we didn't mean it, Bloom said. I think it became clear to us as things went on that this was going to go to a point that we just weren't, irrespective of how we prioritized things. It just wasn't something that we should do. It's hard because of how much we love them. It's just the reality of the situation. How are the Red Sox crying poor mouth? They 100% could have done this contract if they wanted to. They're completely omitting the fact that the what we understand to be, I don't want to say their final offer to him, but The offer that got publicized the most, which was like, what, 6 years, $162 million?
Yeah.
What if you had started with that? Why did it take you so long to get to that? And that still is basically $120 million short at the end. So something doesn't add up. Like, either you didn't really want the player and you're being dishonest about it, like you never really wanted him all along, or even worse to me, you wanted him and your general manager or chief baseball officer just has no earthly clue what the value of players is in today's market. Either one of them is bad for the Red Sox.
They insulted him for a full year. They give lowball offers of an extension or really none at all. And even the last offer, like you say, it's under what his projected market was. So they
and late. It's yeah. It's like 9 months late.
Yeah, but on this one, though, so I kind of agree with Mike and Tony in that, like, look, I think that this kid's over in over his head. That Bloom's in over his head with a lot of these things, and I wouldn't trust him to make any kind of good return if they were to move on from Devers, because look at the Betts deal. But on this one, it's ultimately on ownership. So in a lot of ways, Chris, like, Bloom's a good hire for them because he's a good scapegoat. Like, people should really be mad at ownership more than anything else, not Heim Bloom. With Bogarts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess ownership could obviously step in there, but here's where I disagree with you guys on that one. It's not like they're not spending at all. I think you can make the argument that what they are doing is sort of, you know, something my wife accuses me of, which is like being penny wise and pound foolish. You know, I'll get on the phone with the credit card company with like Banana Republic and fight them over a $9 shipping fee. And my wife's like, hey, what's that interest rate you're earning on that money market? It's like below what the current market is. So I will spend 2 hours fighting over $9, but then, you know.
It's the principle.
Yeah, it's the principle. Yeah. But I bring that to bear because they just went out and spent $105 million, including the posting fee, on Masataka Yoshida, who's never played a game in Major League Baseball. And when you add up that money, including the posting fee, because he gets $90 million, $15.4 million goes to his club, the average that outlay for him is $21 million per year. Brandon Nimmo re-signed with the Mets on an 8-year, $162 million deal. That's $20.25 million per year. I understand there's 3 extra years on that deal, but on an average annual value basis, it's less money than what they gave to Yoshida. And now the scuttlebutt is on social media that they're in on this Japanese pitcher, Kodai Senga, I believe is how it's pronounced. And they're willing to go 7 years for him. So there are guys they're willing to go the contract length for and guys they're willing to go the AAV on. So they're still spending money. I just don't think they're spending it wisely.
Yeah, they had a bad week. The Jansen signing, fine, you got a real closer, but also that's kind of counterintuitive to how they ran the bullpen last year. We're like, well, we don't need a closer, but now you do. Okay, so all right. And then
it also says that the Matt Barnes contract was a bad contract.
Yeah, right. And then the overpay for this Japanese player, it feels like you reach
again,
I'll
give you $280 million if you can pronounce his name.
What is it again?
You can't look it up. You gotta just
I forget what the hell his name is.
Masataka Yoshida.
There it is. But also
of the South Dakota Jackrabbits, Masataka Yoshida.
Zach Eflin. This is the one that I thought was a standout. Like the Red Sox were in on Zach Eflin, but Zach Eflin essentially called the Rays and was like, hey, I got this deal, but I really don't want to play for this suck team. Will you sign me? And then the Rays go get him. Like those kind of ones, those are the bad look ones.
That's a good point. And Jose Abreu, they were way below market on that one. Wasn't there another person they were in on? I think there was a third player.
I forget exactly who it was.
Okay. There was a third player they were interested in, and it seems like they were below market. So, and again, I'll also say this. Look at the contract they gave to Trevor Story. It's not like crazy, but I mean, that's a 7-year deal, right? Or 6-year deal, whatever it is. So they're giving out contracts. It's just, are they top of the market contracts? No. But I mean, let me ask you this. Would you rather have Trevor Story and Masataka Yoshida or just Xander Bogaerts?
Just Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, me too.
And I just think from a PR perspective, look, the Yankees, and it's one of the great contract years in the history of sports, what Aaron Judge just did to them, like putting them over a barrel. But he gets that big bag. But the Yankees knew deep down, look, they got money coming out of every orifice. Like, this would be a terrible look. This was a homegrown guy. This is our guy. He's going to end up in Monument Park. Like, yeah, like, we know he got booed in the postseason, but he's coming off an AL MVP year. Like, we got to bring him back no matter what the money is. Like, that's the right thing to do.
And
this
here's
is what
the
Red Sox should have done with Bogaerts.
Here's the other thing. I'm okay. It's like, I would be okay with it if they were just honest and said, we didn't think Bogaerts was a good investment. We didn't want him. We have Marcelo Mayer coming up through the system. You know, you can't sign multiple guys to contracts worth $300 million. It's just not feasible. I would actually be okay with that. If I thought they were actually going to take this money and put it towards Devers and sign him before he hits free agency, I could live with this. But I don't. I don't think that's going to happen. And I'll tell you, I've said the baseline for Devers is now 10 for 300 million. People are laughing at that. They're saying like,
that price just keeps going up.
Yeah. I mean, Lou Maloney was on, I think it was on Early Edition, and he was saying like, oh, I'm hearing 10 for 300 million. He's like, no, it's way beyond that. Maloney was saying he thinks it's going to be like 14 years, 400 million.
All right, you want to join us on this? Anything Patriots related? You want to talk about our Jacks, the Jackrabbits, who are up right now at halftime on the evil Holy Cross Crusaders?
Again, name three Jackrabbits players.
Oh, we got Rybeck, Dakin, Witham. I mean, oh, these are all the players that everyone knows. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We've got less than a half hour to go here on Gasper Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray. On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. A little more than 20 minutes to go. It's the five questions for Chris Gasper that have nothing to do with sports, which will be the last one of the year, at least for the both of us, because this is the last time we're here together until the end of the year, at least according to, I don't know, I'm doing the schedule in my head right now, because you're away next week. I'm by myself. Bruins game, short show, 90 minutes. Following weekend is well, that's Christmas Eve.
That's the Patriots. The Patriots are playing the Bengals, so we don't have a show. I'm on Patriots pregame with Beetle.
Right.
And then the 31st.
That's my birthday.
That's your birthday.
I don't work my birthday.
I think the Bruins might be playing that afternoon, too, though.
The 31st?
Oh, well, then there you go.
There you go. That was amazing, by the way. Like, that's my birthday. I don't work my birthday.
Oh, I mean, that last week, I got a couple of rules here. That last week of the year, typically the wife and I, we go away.
I know you guys do your big trip.
Yeah, because her birthday's Christmas and mine being New Year's Eve. In lieu of gifts, we take the trip. But we went to Nashville the end of October. We've had some travel follies this year. We were like, I don't want to deal with this again this time of year. And she's got a new job, so really can't get time off. So, you know, we're at home for Christmas this time. But I ain't working that week. Just like I don't work like the week of 4th of July. I made that decision years ago. And just like as of this year, the day before Thanksgiving, I ain't working that no more. I ain't working the birthday. I'm not working the 31st. Nope. So this is it until 2023.
Oh, that's a little bittersweet.
Yes. This was in all these years of doing this show. And I do generally, I love doing the show. It's like one of my favorite parts of the gig. I have to say, this was, I think you probably count on two hands and have fingers left over how many we actually were here for from like August on. But hey, look, you got to take time off.
You got to. I mean, and now I feel like your situation is the longer you've been here at 98.5, you've been able to claw out some actual vacation time.
Yes. Yep. You know, pat myself on the back for that one.
You really should. So, I mean, that's what I meant it when I said, like, I'm glad you get, you know, I love everyone I work with, but obviously I enjoy doing this show with you. And so, you know, when I was over the summer, when I was in more often, I was saying, like, I'm actually happy for Jim, and I meant it. Like, I am happy that you get that time, even though, you know, I miss you on our show.
Oh, well, thank you, Chris. What else is top of mind for you? We've touched on the yes. Patriots, how a lot of people believe this is, like, must-win for the Pats on Monday night because Bill Belichick's job could be in jeopardy. We talked Celtics, obviously.
I got something.
Hour. What do you got?
I just want to let everybody out there know, and this would have been a big topic all week if not for an injury last week in the NFL. We got robbed out of Brady versus Garoppolo 1. Which would have happened Sunday in Santa Clara if Garoppolo, Jimmy G, the G stands for glass. Really, it's not Jimmy G, it's Jimmy Fragile, which you would appreciate.
Yeah. I think it's Italian. Yeah,
he got hurt, so it's Brady versus Brock Purdy, but it would have been the first time these guys had faced each other in a meaningful NFL game.
Yeah, this one, I do feel like we kind of got screwed on. I'm with you on this. And this one, I don't, like, there's some of these injuries I kind of put on Garoppolo, especially that first one out in San Francisco, like where he
tried torn ACL?
Yeah, he tried to extend a play. It's like, what are you trying to do, dummy? This one, it's now gotten to a point, talk about the world being upside down. I now, like, feel bad for him. I know he is fragile, but this one, you look at it in this win over Miami, like he gets twisted around. It's the ankle, foot, like nothing you can really do about it, I feel like. But, boy, it just feels like he's got a black cloud hanging over him. And it just, yeah, in terms of that narrative, football fans, it would be fun to finally see Brady v. Jimmy G. Brady wanted Garoppolo out. Like, we all know that story by now. And now it's Brady, Brock Purdy. Doesn't have the same buzz.
No, I mean, it doesn't, obviously. It just doesn't have the same buzz. And I think it would have been interesting. Not that it would have been, like, definitive. But it would have been interesting because all those years, you know, Maz wearing the Garoppolo helmet, all the debate and discussion, and they never faced off. And it continued even after Garoppolo left. Remember, obviously, 2019, Garoppolo and the 49ers go to the Super Bowl. Bad ending here for Brady. Some people are saying Robert Kraft regretted letting Garoppolo go. And then the next year, it's Brady winning the Super Bowl. I mean, I think it just would have been interesting. And the other part of this game, so here's the thing. You always say never underestimate, you know, somebody's spite. I would definitely say that's the case with one Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, because the 49ers passed on him famously in the 2000 draft to take Giovanni Carmazzi. But when he left here in 2019, the 49ers were on the top of his list as a free agent. And Kyle Shanahan did this deep dive. Albert Breer has written about this, did this deep dive. They looked at all these throws from Brady and came to the conclusion they were better off with Jimmy Garoppolo for the next 3 years.
Ugh.
How do they feel about that now, especially when they gave up 3 first-round picks just to try and push Garoppolo out when they ended up drafting Trey Lance, who also has proven to be injury-prone? So I sort of feel like this is a little bit of an audition for Brady once again for Shanahan, because I think if the 49ers once again get turfed by another Jimmy G injury and they can't win the Super Bowl with that loaded roster – and Brady's a free agent, I think Shanahan, whatever he feels about his system and his level of pride and I make quarterbacks and I don't need this type of quarterback, I kind of feel like that organization would be stupid to turn down Brady another time.
Completely foolish. I mean, they are truly like a quarterback away. The defense is legit. They have excellent weapons there. I mean, that coach drives me crazy. And, you know, he's blown 2 Super Bowls now. But no, and how cool Brady would look in that uniform too at the end. Oh, and what do you make of them as a whole? I know, again, we were texting back and forth for 55 minutes leading up until that crazy comeback at home against the Saints last week. Do you think there's been a little bit of a regression in his play?
Oh, regression in his play? Yes. I thought you said, like, I thought you were going to say renaissance by the Bucs.
Oh, God,
that's why
no.
I was so
no.
quick with the no.
Yeah, no, they stink.
Yeah.
That team stinks. I think they're actually going to lose these next two games.
Regression in his game? Yes. Yes. Hear me now. I am admitting, and I have admitted, Brady has decline. There is decline in his game. It's just not what people want to make it out to be and what people have been saying. It's not like the Max Kellerman off the cliff decline. There is some decline, but he's still very, very good. And I think what's happened now is he doesn't want to get hit as much, which is natural. I mean, you're playing football for 23 years. You're not going to want to take those hits. So he doesn't want to get hit. The offensive line in front of him is not very good. They're going to be without Tristan Wirfs once again on Sunday. And I think the footwork, because he didn't go into the offseason sort of thinking he was going to play and maybe didn't do his full offseason training, his footwork just seems like off. You know, like he's just moving. He's not as adept at moving in the pocket. And I've never seen a season where he's just drilled so many throws into the turf. That being said, the one thing I did think in that New Orleans comeback, I was like, ooh, he's moving pretty well here and making some throws. Like, it seemed like he just made up his mind, like, whatever, I'm not going to be able to just sit in the pocket here. I'm going to have to climb the pocket. I'm going to have to move around and make plays. Screw it. I'll just do it. And he actually did a pretty good job.
And the difference between them and hurry up and their, like, planned offense, it's night and day. I guess just, like, run the hurry up. God, they are painful to watch.
Oh, they have fewer offensive points scored than the Patriots. Just strictly offensive points scored. They have fewer than the Patriots.
Because I'm with you. There is a regression there a little bit. You don't want to get hit. He airmails a lot of balls. But I like a sucker. After the game in Germany, I was like, because it felt like, oh, something clicked there. Maybe they woke up. That stupid Browns game that I went to, it's like, oh, God, they're the same awful team to watch. This is just, it's
painful
it was,
to watch
hard,
them.
It was hard to watch him.
Oh, God. So, I don't know. Like, their next two games, they're at the Niners. I think the Niners are better than them, even with Brock Purdy. And then they're at home against the Bengals. I think the Bengals look like, you know, maybe the scariest team in the AFC right now. Like, I don't like them in these next two games. But still, that division stinks so bad. It does feel like this comeback win over the Saints was huge for them, because I think it now gives them a separation of a couple of games. Like, they're probably still going to end up winning that division by default because everyone else blows.
It's a good point. And the other thing now, you look at a team, I think the Falcons were second in that division. Is that right? And they're
going to Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, they're changing quarterbacks. They're going to Desmond Ridder. So it seems like almost everybody in that division is kind of at this point, you know, waving the white flag. I mean, the Falcons are second. They're 5-8. And the Buccaneers are 6-6. And the Falcons are now saying, hey, we're going to Desmond Ridder instead of Marcus Mariota. So I don't know. I mean, who would be the team in that division that could really catch them in the end? We'll see. The other part of it, too, they've had some really bad losses this year. Pittsburgh, Carolina.
The Carolina one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Browns loss was that you were at. Yeah. That was awful. They've had some really bad losses. But after they get past the 49ers and Bengals, they finish the season with at the Cardinals on Christmas, the Panthers at home, and then the Falcons. So I think those are three winnable games. So I think they have at least three more wins, and that gets them to 9-8.
Five questions for Chris Gasper, got nothing to do with sports. Next.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper.
Oh my God.
Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment.
Yep, five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Last one of the year.
Man, that's crazy.
There's still more Saturdays to come, but again, you know, next week, preempted by the Bruins, so short show. Can't do it there. Chris away. What are you away for again?
I'm covering the Celtics, and then I'm just sticking around for a little family time.
The old Chris extend the L.A. trip. We know that one. So there's that. And then it's Pats, Bengals.
Touchdown,
Saturday.
Crusaders.
This greasy Holy Cross team. The league needs to look into this. Their greasy tactics and this cheating quarterback. Oh, I hate them so.
Peter Oliver, 1 yard touchdown. Let's tie this baby up.
Refs are in the bag for them. And then again, New Year's Eve. Yeah, I'm not working my birthday. All right, so. Question number one, Chris, seeing as this is the last one of the year.
Yeah.
What is the Chris Gasper grade for 2022?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I'm never good at this end of year stuff. Well, certainly better than the prior 2 years with the pandemic. Trying to think. I mean, overall, I'll give it a B.
All right. You had a good year. D plus, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been trying at times. Death. A lot of stuff going on with my dad. Like, yeah, I don't know. I got my health. Like, my wife's got her health. We've had fun, but like the bad's been real bad. So, D plus.
That's tough.
Still a passing grade. Question number two. This actually, you know, pulled from the pages of the real life of yours truly. Chris, okay. Is it appropriate for a neighbor to hire a landscaping crew to show up a little after 8 a.m. on a Saturday?
No, not on a Saturday. No, that has to be, I mean, earliest should be 9 a.m. at the earliest.
I thought I was hallucinating. Like, I didn't sleep that well last night. Had some body pain, so I slept like, so I was like, no, this is just me and my crazy brain. But no, like, what landscaping's to be done at this time of year, December 10th? I guess blowing the leaves, wood chipper.
Oh, yeah.
A wood chipper, too. Wake up. Here's what this is. If a neighbor does this and hires a landscaping crew to show up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday, it is a declaration of war, is what this is. I still can't believe that it happened.
What are you? It ain't the landscaper's fault. It's the neighbor's fault. You've declared war. That's what's happened. You've declared war.
But don't you live in a neighborhood where there are people that have families? Again, the Forsberg thing. These people run on a much earlier schedule than you and I.
It doesn't matter. Like, Saturday, 8 a.m., work's not to be done. Like, this is, it's...
But these people, if they have children, like, 8 a.m., they've slept in for 2 hours.
Your burdens aren't my problem. This is, I still can't believe that happened. Question number three. Lots of travel, lots of people out shopping this month. So yeah. With that means you could be in an elevator. You could be in an escalator. What's scarier to you, Chris Gasper? An elevator getting stuck, you in it, or escalator breaking down? Or maybe like, they look like big teeth to me. Maybe he takes a piece of your pant and starts taking you, which is scary.
You've asked me this question before. I'm going to say the claustrophobic nature of the elevator. And I will say, related to my L.A. trip, every time I step in an elevator on the West Coast, I'm like, please don't have an earthquake. Please don't have an earthquake.
Oh, while I'm in this elevator. About that. Yeah.
Oh, I think about it every time. Every time I'm like, please no earthquake, because I do not want to be trapped in this elevator for 6 hours.
Or, you know, odds are, too, like maybe that earthquake happens you in it. I probably shouldn't extend this because then you're going to think about it. But if you're in it, then it drops and you're squished to death. Well, that's
that would be bad. I'll tell you.
That's a horrible way to go.
I'm trying to think where I was staying. Oh, it was during the Super Bowl. I stayed at like the Westin St. Bonaventure downtown. And it's one of those hotels like from like the 60s or the 70s where the elevator's on like the outside of the building. And it's like a glass elevator that goes up like the outside.
Okay.
Like the spine of the building. And I was like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah, they're both. I've said this before. The escalator thing. You know, my dad worked in the elevator industry like his whole life. So I got these horror stories as a child. Like, oh, I had to pull out a foot today. You know, these kind of things. Like, the escalators to me still look like giant teeth. I always think that they can just grab you, your pant leg, and then bring you down. And the next thing you know, you're in a wheelchair the rest of your life. Ooh. Not great. Question number four. If you could Airbnb a house from any holiday movie, which one would you want to stay in?
Oh, that is a great question. I would really have to think about Airbnb a house from any holiday movie.
Christmas Story, Home Alone, the Die Hard house, the Nakatomi Plaza, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning towards that one. I don't know. I'm struggling to come up with an answer on that one. I'm sure you have an answer. I mean, honestly, I'm just trying to think. Maybe the what's the movie that everybody loves, the Cameron Diaz, they switch places is it Kate Winslet?
Cameron Diaz, let me look this up.
What's
a Cameron Diaz Christmas movie?
Yeah, it's like for Christmas, they like switch houses and they fall in love. Black's in it.
Christmas movie. Hold on, I don't know what this is. God, you love all these terrible movies.
Jeff says maybe The Holiday?
The Holiday, that's it. That's it.
I've never seen
it. I want the L.A. house from The Holiday.
Oh, so you want something fancy, exactly. Not homey and kitschy.
Yeah, yeah. I want something fancy. Yeah, I want the L.A. I want Cameron Diaz's L.A. house from The Holiday.
Yeah, with like a DeLonghi espresso maker.
Yes.
Servants.
Yes, you know, all of it.
30-count linen sheets.
No, give me all the luxury.
I got to just see it. The Christmas Story house in Cleveland. And Christmas Story's on last night. Now it's going to be on incessantly between now and Christmas. And I still was watching it last night. I was like, I was just there. Like, it's where they filmed it. If you ever get an opportunity to go to Cleveland and visit the Christmas Story house, I'm telling you, it's worth it if you love that movie.
You want to freak yourself out. See the picture today of Ralphie.
Oh, there's a new one, too. They put it on HBO. It's like a Christmas Story, too. Yeah, no, he's like a fat old in his 40s. Like,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's jarring.
Aging's terrible. Finally, if you had to compete in a non-sports related event, which would you be the best at? Cooking, wrapping gifts, texting, yard work? What would you get the gold in?
I'm not good at any of those. Are those the choices, or can I say
anything? Oh, no, think of, think of one on your own. Finding parking, perhaps, Chris?
Finding parking would be good. I would say shoveling. I've said this before on this show. Pound for pound, I'm a good shoveler.
Yeah.
Pound for pound, like, I'm like the Floyd Mayweather of shovelers. Pound for pound, one of the best in the world.
Well, all right, pal. So concludes our 2022 wrap. You safe travels. When are you leaving?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, all right.
On that Delta One.
Oh no, that's the way to fly. Good for you, my friend. All right, enjoy that Delta One and the comforts of that. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll see you next year. I'll talk to you down the line.
But yeah.
Still, you know. B-Rob, always a pleasure, my friend. And that is going to do it for us. Coming up next, it's Leroy Irvin and Matt McCarthy. Want to get on with them. Update you here with what's going on with our Jackrabbits, South Dakota State, playing this greasy Holy Cross team. It just won't go away. They need to be looked at by the league. They're nonstop cheating. So we'll get you caught up there, and that's going to do it for me. I'll talk to you Monday with Felger and Mass. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.